This episode is sponsored by the Myrtle Beach Convention Center. This podcast represents the opinions of the host and the interview subject, and not necessarily the opinions of Meetings Today. Everybody, this is Courtney Stanley, and welcome to another episode of Dare to Interrupt, the only podcast made by women for women in the world of events, hospitality, tourism, and beyond. We hope you feel empowered as you listen in on honest, unfiltered conversations with leaders who are considered to be the most influential, inspiring, and innovative women in business today. Throughout their careers, these leaders have dared to interrupt conversations, their own comfort zones, and sometimes even societal norms to hustle toward their greatest levels of success. I am beyond excited for today's guest. Joining us, we have Dr. Brandy Baldwin, CEO of Millennial Ventures.
Welcome, Dr. Brandy. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. I feel like this year is flying by. I don't know what happened to March, but I'm happy to be going into spring. Have you been pretty busy these days?
Always busy. But you know, it's the beginning of the year, so I'm getting as much productivity in as possible. So I can't complain.
I hear you, hustler. So tell us more about your background and what you do. I'd love to hear more about Millennial Ventures and give the audience a little bit of context.
Yes. So I am the CEO of Millennial Ventures. I've actually been a full-time CEO, full-time entrepreneur for almost 15 years. And my story is kind of unique in terms of the fact that when I was pregnant with my oldest daughter, who was almost 16, when I gave birth to her, I actually was informed by the doctors that she had some medical challenges. And so I went to my employer at the time that I loved them. They loved me. And I was like, my newborn has some medical challenges. And, you know, can I maybe have an adjusted schedule? Can I maybe have adjusted hours? And they said no. And wow. I was shocked. And they said no with a smile. It wasn't anything negative. They just weren't willing to run it up the chain and get the approvals that they needed because of the dynamics in the organization. And literally, that was the beginning of my entrepreneurial career. That was the moment when I realized I cannot rely on any type of 9-to-5 to kind of help me to support my livelihood because of that situation. And so that was kind of my origin story. And literally, I'm so grateful almost 15 years later, I've been able to work with companies and consulting them on organizational development and employee engagement to school districts, to the federal government, had a lot of national and international clients. And so I founded Millennial Ventures some years ago to really duplicate my efforts so that I don't have to be the only one doing everything and consulting, but to create a team. Mm-hmm. And now we are working with a variety of organizations in workforce development and DEI, as well as in education innovation. So that's my life, entrepreneur and mom, you know, mom of two now. So
isn't that funny though, how I feel like most entrepreneurial beginnings start because of a no? That was the case for me, for sure. When people ask me, was there a moment that you realized you wanted to work for yourself full time? And I said it was definitely a compound effect over the years, yes. But there was a moment at the end of working for an employer and I just didn't want to be told no anymore. I was told no for what I wanted to be the last time. And so I really wanted to take my life into my hands and design the life experience that I wanted. And so that's just funny to me that you said that it was a no, and that's what led into this next chapter.
Yeah. Yeah, so grateful, very scary, but in hindsight, there is no other rejection than when you are told no, and it's you know, part of your paycheck. It's a part of, you know, you stopping you from taking care of a family member. It's nothing like that to
No.
make you go never again,
yeah.
you know? So now I can get in, I can get out, but I'm not beholden to any one type of organization. And that's probably where I need to be anyway. So bit
it's
of a
that
disruptor.
Freedom.
That freedom is I wasn't going to last that long regardless. So,
no.
You know, might as well have been that moment, but it's been a great journey, roller coaster ride, but other entrepreneurs like yourself, that's a common thread with all of us. So,
And I love that you use the word disruptor, because that is exactly what we're going to be talking about today. And I've been really excited to speak with you today, because I know that you've been making some waves in the industry lately, and quite frankly, inspiring a handful of other women to do the same by standing up and speaking out about a serious issue that's been going on for a while. So I'd love to get into that. Are you ready?
Let's do it. Let's go.
Okay. So Tourism Diversity Matters recently terminated the employment of their executive director after accusations of a toxic work environment, most notably among women of color, came to light. And Dr. Brandy, my understanding is that you were a board member of TDM and you led the charge for writing an open letter about a hostile work environment that was created by this leader. What happened? Can you take us back to the beginning and walk us through your experience?
Sure. So I actually was on the executive committee of TDM since TDM's inception. So while I was the chair, starting in the beginning of 2023, I had been with the organization for years on the executive committee, really helping them. You know, my background being launching startups and things of that nature, it was a great partnership, I would say. Had a great time really helping in those initial stages and some of the getting things off the ground. Also with my background in diversity, equity, and inclusion and helping companies. It was literally just such a great idea. And it came at a time in 2020, 2021, where there was a lot of resurgence of diversity, equity, and inclusion in organizations. And so with me previously being on a board at the Philadelphia Convention and Visitors Bureau, this was a great kind of next step. And some folks and leaders that were at the CVB, PHL-CVB, were also a part of launching this. So my initial engagement with TDM actually was very positive, very great. And I think that where there may have been a couple of hiccups, a couple of challenges early on, I chalked it up to being a young organization. All organizations and startups, whether you're a nonprofit or not, kind of have those hiccups. Now, when I took the helm as board chair and was appointed to that role in 2023, it really was at a phase where, from a leadership perspective, I'm expecting that we put some best practices in place. It's time to kind of mature, you know, as an organization. And so my entire tenure was focused on gathering organizational data. I met with each of the board members and had one-on-ones with them. I think it's like over 26 hours of really listening and, you know, leaning into my natural gifts and skills to figure out how we can really set the future of the organization. And because of my role really shifting as chair, I had more interaction with their former executive director, more than I had ever had before. And quite frankly, early on, I saw some behavior at first that I would say would maybe unprofessional, you know, just light, you know, but some things are very professional. And sometimes people can do one or two things that are like a little unprofessional, but they're maybe quirky. It's things like that. I'm really big on documenting all interactions, conversations, really for my own memory. Okay. I'm a mother of two, very busy running multiple companies. By the time I'm on another board, I'm like writing everything down. So I remember reflecting on just a couple of notes and things like that. And raising a little eyebrow, but this is what I'll say, since we all know how the story ended, is that there's something in our spirit, there's something in our gut that kind of goes, stop brushing that off. Was that unprofessional, or was it something else deeper or darker or more, you know? And so I remember having some initial interactions where this individual would talk about our fellow board members, you know, in a negative way, in a derogatory way, making comments about board members who were women, board members who were pregnant, making derogatory, you know, little things like that. And I went, okay, this is going from unprofessional to now exclusionary. When we're talking about diversity, equity, and inclusion, I'm hearing exclusionary language now. I'm hearing inequitable language interpersonally. But again, maybe this is, you know, people's perspectives. And I don't know these people, you know, I'm not really bona fide in the tourism and hospitality industry. You know, I'm one of those experts that gets in and gets out. I work with LA Tourism. I work with over the years as consultant, right? As a DEI consultant. So I'm going, okay, let me write that down. You know, watch out for this person. These are things I'm going to watch out for this person because, you know, she's just a handful to work with because, of, you know, this person, you know, I wish they could, you know, I understand that they're pregnant, but gosh, I mean, I wish they would just, you know, do better with this. I'm like, okay, let me just write these notes down. And then I think what shifted was the first time that I actually was yelled at. Now, I haven't been yelled at since I probably was, you know, my mom was reprimanding me as a teenager. You know, I'm talking yell, okay? In a professional setting, I don't think I've ever been yelled at in 20 years, okay? Of being a professional. And so that's where I remember logging off of that Zoom, feeling like a child, feeling reprimanded, not feeling good at all, and really stunned, going, oh my gosh, this person who has an amazing personality to the public, who I have seen and have known myself to be very polished, very professional, so intelligent. In front of large groups, that behind the scenes, I was seeing a different person, a different individual. And I got off the call and was literally shaking because I was like, wait a minute, you know, it's like, what was that? What just happened? Didn't feel good. And part of it is, you know, when your body goes into fight or flight mode. And I think part of me, full transparency, wanted to just be like, you know, like my neck was like, I just wanted it to be like, first of all, you know, that I was, but I was having this meta moment. I'm not sure if anyone listening can relate to this, but have you ever had an interaction with someone that doesn't feel comfortable? It doesn't feel good. It's maybe unprofessional, disrespectful, or whatever, but you kind of zoom out of yourself. And I started having a dialogue with myself saying, my flesh was saying, I really want to curse you out right now because how dare you speak to me this way? But then my other part of my brain was going, oh my gosh, this person is very influential. And so although I want to say this and I want to stick up for myself, I don't want to go against this person. It's very powerful and very influential. And then another part of myself was saying, I'm shocked because this is the first time I'm seeing this behavior from someone that I've known, quote unquote, known professionally for quite some time. So there's so many things going on. And my default is stay quiet, put on a smile, you know, just bear through this. And hopefully this is maybe, you know, maybe they're having a bad day. Maybe there's just maybe you did say something that warranted you being yelled at. And I think what the context of that conversation was, I was bringing some feedback back from the board. And I was saying, oh, the board has some great ideas. I've been meeting with them one-on-one. And the board, you know, they're saying we should do this. I'm loving that idea because this can improve. And the response that I got was something to the effect of, you know, you're going to stop telling me what the board wants to do. I don't care what the board wants to do. I don't care about the suggestions. I don't care about I run this organization. I do, you know what I mean? I'm the one that has to do everything. So I'm not trying to hear what the board has to do, you know? So I was thinking, okay, maybe it wasn't towards me. Maybe just their frustration. And the volume happened to be high. Like I'm just doing all of this, excusing. But even in my spirit, in my gut, I just didn't really feel good. And so I said, let me wait. Let me see if this is a pattern. And sure enough, over the next probably 3 months or so, that became the norm for our one-on-one meetings. And what I think really rubbed me the wrong way was not so much the bad behavior, but it was the bad behavior followed up by jumping on a group call with other leaders or members where the persona would change. Oh, hi, Dr. Brandy. How's everything going? Or I would get a compliment in public. Oh, Dr. Brandy's been, oh, I hear she's working hard on this. And I'm going, did I not just get yelled at? So I'm processing this, and I'll stop here because I'm sure you have some follow-ups, but I decided, I said, you know what? I know I'm going to take a chance here, and I know I probably can trust the CEO. I have my documents. I went back on my notes because when things get emotional, you want to make sure. I went back on my notes for like multiple meetings. I'm like, nope, it's a pattern. I'm seeing it here. Then I went back to my onboarding conversation. I go, yeah, actually, he was talking about this woman and that person derogatorily. And I said, okay. And I wrote this email, sent it to the CEO saying, hey, I'm a little bit concerned about some things that I've observed. To me, I didn't hear back. So I'm going, oh my God. I'm like sick to my stomach for like 3 weeks. I'm like, oh my gosh. I just like, what is going on? Maybe this individual, the executive director, got to him first because I'm like all these things. Turns out that the CEO just missed the email. Like we're traveling or something, just missed it. And they're like, oh gosh, I'm so sorry. Let's meet. Sure, let's talk. What do you want to talk about? Got on the call, and this is how I'm approaching the call. I'm feeling empowered. I've run all the scenarios in my head like Dr. Strange. I know all this. There could be so many outcomes of what could happen, but I know that my intention is pure and I just want to communicate, share some information. I think I have the smoking gun. I'm like, on this date, he said that. That date, he said he could take all the TDM clients, and I got all my ducks in a row. And I was waiting for the CEO to be surprised. I was waiting for the CEO to be shocked. And you know what the CEO's response to me was? I know. I already know. We know. There have been other people that have had issues with this individual. We've actually already hired a coach for that person a couple years back because of how he spoke to some other people. And so I was shocked and taken aback by how calm, and it was like, yeah. I'm like, well, he said he'll take all the clients too, that he can like literally take all the clients, start his own thing. And it's like, I'm just trying to be big and bad for you. That's what he just, and I'm just like, what? It was a devaluing of, what I know to be unprofessional, what I know to be disrespectful, what I know to be out of alignment with principles of DE&I. It was very like watered down. The response was like, well, it's not right, but it wasn't the shock. So that I was going, but part of me was relieved because I said, at least they know I'm not lying. Because I was nervous, thinking I'm going to state my case. I need to have all my notes together because I'm going to have to state my case because this person's persona is airtight. It's perfect. It's like an you ever been, it reminds me of what do they call them now? Not stewardesses, flight attendants. And they're just like, that's how it is. It's like on character, on point, on script all the time. So my biggest fear was that the CEO was going to say, that doesn't sound characteristic of this person. And they were actually in agreement with me. So I walked away from the meeting feeling empowered. The CEO said, we're going to meet with him together. We met with him together within maybe a couple of days, maybe a week max. I don't remember. And I pretty much outed all of my notes that I had on him. And nothing really happened afterwards. The only thing that happened was now this individual knew that I was taking notes on his poor behavior and that I was willing to actually come forward. And that was the turning point last year where the emotional abuse, I'll say that, the workplace toxicity went through the roof. And I pretty much was counting down the rest of my months until I could be out of that board chair role to get out of that environment. So I'll stop there. It, answer any specific questions, but that's kind of how everything's unfolded in the beginning of last year's experience.
I am so sorry that that happened. Truly, because I have also been in a situation similar to that, where my employer, former employer, was the same kind of leader, distributing or just showcasing the same types of behaviors I have also been screamed at in public in front of my colleagues. That is a core memory that I will never forget. And
Definitely.
I've been in other situations too, where you talked about the dilemma between physically responding to the situation and that knee-jerk response of wanting to stand up for yourself or whatever it may be, versus your mind coming into play saying, but let's think through this. What are the consequences of this? Is there a reason this is happening? Am I overreacting? Did I miss something? Is this going to happen again? And you really start to question the experience that you had. And it really does take such a significant toll on your well-being. The level of anxiety and stress and internalization that happens when you are put in front of this person in multiple different experiences in different ways, and there is that level of emotional and verbal abuse, it is horrific. So
Horrible.
I really appreciate you sharing your story with our audience today, but I also appreciate that you went beyond the story that you've told, and there is another part of the story. And that's what I want to get into next, because you did pen this open letter about this individual. Tell me what happened in that moment. You're rolling off the board. Talk to me about that.
So to bring everyone up to date, the end of the year comes around, it's time to talk about succession. The CEO is saying, "Hey, you've done great. I know you've had problems with this individual. Don't worry. We're going to keep him in check next year. I got your back," you know, and it was kind of this conversation on the phone conversation saying, "We're going to call him out on his BS. I need you to, you know, we're going to lock in." And I was just like, is that the strategy? Like in my mind, I'm going like, I don't want to have to call. This is a professional setting. I don't want that to be the strategy where I'm now given the green light to, you know, call this person out. And that's not, I shouldn't have to do that. You know, what can we do so that this individual knows that their behavior is, you know, out of control, right? And so the CEO calls me, the former chair calls, what do we got to do? What we got to do to keep you? What do we got to do? And I said, you know what? Let me think about this. Let me think. You know, if we can kind of work this out. I really was like, they were laying it on thick. So I was like, do you really need me? Long story short, we had a meeting maybe 24 hours later with the executive director on the call. We prepped the meeting and we said, hey, this is going to be the call that we're going to let the executive director know that we really want you to stay on. You've been doing great work. We need you. And we don't have enough time to get someone else in the role quick enough. We get on the call, and the executive director says right outright, no, I would prefer if someone else would be the chair. Because it wasn't any negative reason. It was just no, I'm not, you know. And he named two other individuals, and we went around in circles for some minutes. With them too, speaking to him and saying, no, I think Dr. Brandy, da, 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 da. After the meeting, I send an email to everyone saying, hey, great meeting today. Appreciate all the points that were put in, but I see that we don't have consensus on me staying on in the chair role because the executive director, I called him out by name and I said, that's okay. You know, that's okay. I think we want to be in a place where we feel good about our leadership decisions. So for that reason, I'll actually bow out gracefully and support you, right? Deuces, and I will support whoever is next and be in my past chair role. And I was like relieved, like low key. I was like, it's a sign from God,
Yes,
like
get me
just
out.
get me up out of here, please. You know, because if he doesn't understand that your CEO is saying, and he's like, oh no. And I just like something went over his head, but whatever. And literally, when I sent the email saying, like, no, thank you, da 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 da, or whatever, I promise you, 24 hours later, they were like, got somebody else, the new person is. And I was like, what? You all sit on, I mean, it was so many calls. And so I said, you know what? That just shows me that it is the right idea. Bow out gracefully. The holidays come and go. We have one meeting. I tell myself, just get through the meeting. Just get through your last meeting, January the 12th, 2024. The succession planning meeting with the new chair who they got in 24 hours. They just jump right in and replace. I said, okay, great. We have this whole meeting. I'm cringing through the whole meeting. The executive director is getting compliments, and we're just so great for all you've done, and da 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 da. And I can tell the CEO that was my reflective moment of like, this is a sweep under the rug situation. This is, you know, she's over. We got somebody else, and let's just like reset the deck, you know, reset the chessboard, and move on. And I was in agreement in that meeting. That I smiled through that meeting. They have the recording. I would love for them to release that of the succession planning meeting. And I smiled through and I just gave my talking points and logged off. And by the end of that day, I got a call from their executive assistant. And I was the chair, so I didn't interact with her. She was on payroll. You know, she was full time. So I didn't interact with the team at TDM. Only like board meetings and just emails. Can you send me the list of this? But I never had spoken to them throughout the year. So she called me and she says, "Hey, I just got terminated today." And I said, "What? You got terminated today?" So yeah, I said, "Okay. What was the reason?" And we had this conversation and things like that. And I don't want to pull in other people's in business, right? So I just want to keep it tight with how I'm explaining this. But from the information she shared with me, I said, "Did you have any issues? Let me just ask you, did you have any issues?" And da, 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 da. She said, "Yeah." She said, "2 weeks ago, I just spoke with the CEO. And the only issue we talked about was the fact that I hadn't been getting treated well by executive director." I said, "Oh my gosh, I literally had the same experience." So we had like a moment of like, "You had the same." And I was like, "I am so sorry. I thought it was just me." So all year, I didn't know. And I asked her about the apprentice. I said, "We had an apprentice working. Did you talk to her about any, you know?" And she was like, "Oh my gosh, I think she had a similar experience." I said, "Can you get me her number? Because I don't even have their personal number. I didn't even recognize her number." She actually wound up texting me and saying, "Hey, it's me." Right. So Saturday, this is a Friday, January 12th. Saturday, what comes on my feed on Google? College or university leader commits suicide due to alleged workplace bullying. So I'm like, "Lord, I'm a spiritual person, right?" So I'm
Me
like,
too.
"No." And I don't know this person from a can of paint. News is horrific regardless, but for some reason, I was like off the whole weekend. And Sunday rolls around, and I said to myself, I can't bow out gracefully. Like, it was one of those moments where I was out. I was out. And I got dragged back in. And I promise you, it was literally just my moral compass. It was something in my heart. Even though I'm done, I don't have anything else to give to them. They have no more real responsibilities. And I was like, "I got to go back into the fire on this one." I text the executive assistant and the apprentice, and I say, "Hey, can you jump on a call real quick? Super random. I just want to ask you something." They were like, sure. We coordinated times. This is Sunday." I said, "Hey, did you guys hear about this article?" They're like, "No, we didn't hear about anything." I'm like, "This is what it is." And I'm like, "I just feel a moral obligation. If anybody else has to go through what I went through last year, the blood is on my hands if they do something to harm themselves, because I was in a bad space. I would literally tell my kids, I would fix dinner, I'd tell them to go eat. I would take a shower, cry in the shower, lay in the bed, go to sleep early because of my mental health was horrible last year, like for real. And so I was thinking, and I'm strong. I'm a strong person. I thought if anyone is not as strong as me, they're done for with this individual. They're done. And there's no support in the organization. So I'm like, "Hey, I'm going to write a letter tomorrow. You don't have to do it. I know you all share with me in confidence what you went through. Would you feel open to sharing your perspective?" I said, "I'm going to do mine regardless. I don't need you to." You know, it was one of those things where I was kind of like, you know, not asking them directly, but I was like, "If you don't feel comfortable." And they both were like, "Sure, I'll write something." I said, "Well, send me like by 9 a.m. tomorrow morning, send me whatever you want to send, just something short and simple." The Monday was MLK Day. I promise you, my kids were off from school. Should have probably been playing with them and enjoying family time. And I spent 4 hours at my computer writing the initial open letter. I attached the other two letters to it and I sent it to the entire board. Now, a board member reached out to me about 2 days later and said, "Hey, why would you send it to the whole board without letting the CEO know?" And what I had to inform them is the CEO does know. The only person that knows everything is me and the CEO and the executive director. So, yes, I'm going to skip over him because nothing was done. And I know how the game works, and everything's been swept under the rug. And things actually got worse after I told him. And so I'm going to send it to every single person on the board, just for transparency's sake. And I put in the letter, "I'm not looking for resignations. Like, this is not what this is about, but this is me sharing vital information." I attach maybe one or two emails so that they know I'm not lying, because I always think the first is like, "She's lying, she's over exaggerating." So I said, "I gotta send them an email from August of last year so that they understand and they have receipts. I'm not going to give them all the receipts, but I have them. And I sent that, and that triggered an internal investigation. I'm putting this in quotes for people who are just listening to the audio only of this podcast, but in a, you know, an investigation that was called an HR assessment. Within a couple of weeks, it was started off as an investigation, then it turned into a TDM HR assessment. And from that point, word got out that I had sent that letter, and literally people from the woodworks. Mm-hmm. There's only one individual that I bona fide know from the list of nine women that came out who said I had the same experience all the way dating back 10 years with this individual. And I was overwhelmed because I thought, I didn't know. It's different if you're like, I got a gang of people anyway that I know, you know, so we're going to take you down. It was like, I'm going to go out on my own, and I'm going to stand 10 toes down and I'm going to write this letter. I have two other individuals who are lower in ranks, whatever may be, but I know I'll be able to sleep well. And I was sick to my stomach because for the following 4 weeks after this happened, I learned of new people over and over and over again that had the identical experience. Some people far worse, and I can share more about that, but that is the kind of trigger that led to the termination of the executive director. The CEO has since stepped down, and TDM made a public statement. I think Skift Meetings did an in-depth article recently that they are now on pause with all of their operations. So what do you want to know about that process? It was a lot. After that process, that 4 weeks from the initial letter to the open letter with the other women that were named, I can write a book about that 4 weeks. I wouldn't wish it on anyone. That was very stressful. That was very stressful. I can talk about that if you want. And what I will say is, because we didn't come out collectively as a group to, as a witch hunt, as a get back, as retaliation, it was bittersweet when the executive director was terminated. You know, it was odd feeling. It was very odd because just us getting up the courage to put something out there, that was the highlight. We were like, on cloud nine. Whatever happened after that, we didn't know. We didn't have any expectations or anything after that. And so people have asked us since, like, oh, the person got terminated and fired. We're like, that never was really the goal anyway. But there's something about standing up for yourself. There's something about bringing light to darkness. There's something about just doing something by faith. That initial step that I took, that initial gut instinct, when I remember just being like, I just have to do this. And then in retrospect, in 4 weeks, how everything worked out and turned out, I couldn't have made it up myself. It was just ridiculous. So I know that we're in a season and in a time in this generation where leaders and workplaces need to understand the importance of treating your people with value. And I think mental health is so important that people are not willing to lose their sanity over a paycheck. And out of everyone that was involved, I'm the only one that wasn't paid. I never was on anybody's payroll. I did not receive any funds. I was in a volunteer role and still had that type of experience. And I don't wish it on anybody.
No, I definitely don't either. And I know that you had posted on LinkedIn as well. You'd shared that with me the last time we spoke. And I did look at the post, and I actually pulled a couple lines from your post that I thought were really powerful. So in your post, you said you explained some parts of the experience, and you had said, forget my money, forget my reputation, forget what people will say about me. None of that matters more than shedding light on the darkness. And the response that you got to this post was that massive, massive.
Ridiculous. I think we're up to almost 100,000 views right now, shared over 90 times, 80 something, 90 times, hundreds of comments. That was, I didn't know it would resonate, because I don't know why. I just didn't expect it to. Again, it's just me doing what I wanted to put out there. And it was ridiculous. The response was ridiculous. But yeah, that was one of the things I put in the post.
What were some of the comments on that post?
Gosh, I think the overwhelming majority of comments, as well as my inbox, was flooded. My DMs, it took me probably 5 days, and I made sure I could respond to everyone, because women were sharing. 98% of everyone were women. They were sharing their personal stories, things they're going through right now, reaching out saying, Dr. Brandy, can you tell me how you did it? What were your strategies? Do you have, I'm like, wait a minute, wait. You know, I actually got, I hate to say it, but I have individuals, male and female, who actually named the executive director by name, saying they had the same experience. And I was like, so there's more than 9 or 10 of us. So I probably had, you know, my total count, maybe up to 17, 18 individuals with, you know, who had a similar interaction. A lot of the comments on the thread were saying, hey, good for you. People having their own experiences. I didn't know. I don't know if I'm in a bubble because I'm an entrepreneur, things like that. I didn't realize how many toxic spaces there are. And one of the things I'm going to do now that I have seen the reaction and the response is I'm actually going to be hosting an event called Courage and Convictions for women to navigate toxic workplaces. I'm going to move it to April. It's going to be in April, because the number one thing that I got from people, which was probably the most uncomfortable comment, was people saying, like, you have so much courage. You have so much courage. And I was like, no. That's not, maybe so. Maybe courage is when you are afraid and you still push through. Maybe that's really what courage is supposed to be. But I was like, I don't want to be put on a pedestal. Like, it was just so weird to hear that people were like, good for you, standing up, you know, and the things that people feel like they couldn't do, that they can't do. And so I said, no, you know what? We need to have really a real discussion. I need to demystify, talk about the psychology, the mental health, what you do have to do. If you want to put the truth out there and speak your truth, what the ramifications are going to be. Because I'll be honest, there are some individuals on the board, the majority probably of the board, that I haven't heard from to this day. There may have been two people that reached out and said, I had no idea this was going on. I wish I did. Other than that, you know, crickets, you know, so I don't care. Because at the end of the day, when you do right, there's something that just happens in the atmosphere that takes care of you. And what I found is the biggest fear that I had, the biggest kind of boogie monster that we have all in our head, it's literally a mirage. It's not real. The thing that I walked away with, and all of the women, and we talked about this, we've cried together. These are women that now, for the rest of my life, I have a connection with, that I didn't know from a can of paint. Okay. Didn't know them. But one of the things that we just felt so great about is finally validating our worth.
Yes.
That part is powerful. That's when you're like, wait a minute, I'm nothing to be messed. Like, whoa. Like, when you finally reach that point where, even if it is me, even if maybe I did, you know, do something, it never warrants me being treated this way. That unlocks a whole nother aspect of your worth and your value that no one can take away from you. You know what I mean? And so for all of us, it was so interesting when we were communing and fellowshipping and building each other up. And one of the women said on a call, and she was in tears. We were on a Zoom, one of our meetings, just being strategic. And what are we going to do in the letter? We edited that letter and the webpage, like, hours that I will never get back, but I'm grateful. It was invested time. But she said, you know what, lady? She said, I used to be in an abusive relationship. And she said, that's what I felt. This is one of the women that decided to remain anonymous. And she said, that behavior triggered me and it reminded me of that. There's another woman who literally disappeared from LinkedIn, who worked with that organization under this individual. And when we reached out to say, hey, this is happening, do you want to be involved? She was so triggered just by knowing that anything was going on by this. She literally refused to take our texts, to take our calls, because of how low she got as a result of this. You know, so For me, it was a year. It was a quick year. And I only made it 6 months in before I was like, oh, no, 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 no. This is not going to, like, I started the process of talking to the CEO and just figuring things out. And for me, knowing that there are women out there who specifically engage with this individual who are still really going to need some time to heal. It really brings it full circle in terms of the fact that I really need to use my platform and take the response as an indication that there's more work to do. And however I can empower and support and help women to get the courage to just decide. Sometimes it may not be deciding to write an open letter or you know, do something of that nature, but maybe it's a decision to just move on, you know, but not where you're pushed out and you're beaten, battered, and bruised, but where you in power say, this environment doesn't work for me. And so I'm looking for something else, and I'm going to take my skills and my talents somewhere else. I have a friend that works for the federal government. I'm not going to say what agency. And she literally texted me last week, and she said, this inspired me so much. I'm actually going to do the EEOC complaint that I've been sitting on for over a year. I don't care what they do. And I'm like, yes, you know, do it. You know why? Because it doesn't matter about the outcome. Because people will cover for each other. This is what I was dealing it with, was a cover up, was diminishing the value, was having the audacity to send an email saying that we are doing an HR review and an investigation with a lawyer that we hired. That's not equitable. How do you hire your own lawyer to investigate yourself? But okay, instead of the board hiring, but it said things like, because we heard that there are interpersonal differences and interpersonal communication differences that were, this is what people do. And I think that the amount of face saving that I experience, of people will rather save face than do what's right. It's a challenge. It really surprised me, actually, because my initial intent in bringing everything up was to say, hey, let's take care of home first. Let's get our junk in order. This individual is exhibiting some behaviors. Because we're supposed to allegedly be a part of DE&I, let's go ahead and address this so that it doesn't go forward. But when you continue to sweep things under the rug, you find yourself without donors, no more fundraising, and your organization's on pause. Instead of seeing, we're on the same team. I thought we were on the same team internally. So if we have a mess that we have to, let's clean the mess up. It's no shade. It's no judgment. But when you refuse to clean the mess up, this is what happens. The mess gets bigger. And I think that, and then I'll pause for a second, you know, to get, I know you have some more questions and insights that I think the listeners will really, you know, they're probably thinking the same thing. So I don't want to take up all the time. You know, if you're not about that life, I'd rather you have an organization that says, you know what, we're really not into DEI, or we, you know, we just don't have, we think that we do well with our policies and procedures. Just be that organization. I respect people that say, I don't get it. Seems a little woke for me. And I don't really, I respect that because it's authentic. What the challenge is in this season is organizations who are claiming that they do DEI, who are taking money from organizations and being, and they're not really authentically in alignment with those values, you will get found out, you know? And so for me, when I see the fact that misalignment is there, is not the issue. We're human. We make mistakes. We're organizations. We're flawed. The issue is that when you know you're out of alignment and you choose to not take the steps to realign, that's the problem. That's where I think they went wrong. Bad behavior and people maybe being unprofessional and being abusive and things like that. This is Earth. We're earthlings. You're going to encounter those folks. But what I'm against is people who exhibit that behavior purposefully, strategically. They find women. They find young women. They find certain groups. That means you wait. You're choosing who you're going to treat a certain way. That's what we were dealing with. One of the board members said to me, I don't see him exhibit that behavior with men. I think he has a problem with women. They said that to me. And I thought, okay, well, you and I are thinking the same thing, but what do we do about it? Nothing. Nothing that lets people know that this behavior is seriously not going to be tolerated. But what the message that I got was, Dr. Brandy, you don't have as much value as this person. You're right, but I'm not going to hold that person accountable. You're still going to have to get the brunt of this behavior because for whatever reason, we're not going to be able to hold this person fully accountable.
Let
You
me
know?
ask you this, Dr. Brandy.
Yeah.
It's because it's not every day that leaders get called out and are held accountable for their actions. Most toxic leaders, I think, probably get away with bad behavior. Do you believe that we'll see more reporting and accountability in the future?
I think so. I think so. And I think the reason why we will is because we're being crushed as individuals. You know, again, our humanity is all we have. Our mental sanity is all we have. And when you're beat up for all of us, I think, and some of us have different tolerance levels, you know, than others, but I think the point of no return is when you're no longer yourself. And I think that once people hit that point where you're showing up anxious all the time, you know, it takes a toll on your daily life, your daily activities. I was lacking focus. I was lethargic. I was emotional, could cry at the drop of a dime and didn't know why I was so emotional. I mean, it was bad. And my kids gave me grace. I'm so grateful to them, because they knew, like, what's going on, Mom? You're stressed. I was having heart palpitations. You know what I mean? Like
I
real
do.
stuff. Right. And so I think that we'll have more reporting, not because people are expecting vindication or certain justice, but I think because at some point people are going to be choosing their health and well-being over these type of toxic environments that will kill you. The environment will kill you before, you know what I mean? Like for real, we gotta be very careful here. But I think we're going to see more, and I'm grateful for even the women. There were times when I was second guessing some things, and they helped me to push forward. And they said, "Dr. Brain, you're the only one with the highest title. You've made it this far. You got this. You know, they were helping me." So community is going to be important, and support is going to be important for anyone, male or female, who wants to kind of stand up against toxic leadership in workplaces.
And I want to ask you one final question, and I so appreciate everything you've shared today. There were so many questions that you answered as you were telling your
Okay,
story,
I'm glad.
we didn't skip over anything. This was
Okay.
such a robust conversation and truly, truly valuable. I want to ask you if there is somebody that's tuning into this particular episode and that person is struggling with enduring a hostile work environment, what would you want to say to them?
Yeah. So the first thing I would say is what I mentioned earlier in our conversation, which is you are worthy, you are valuable. You're worth being treated with respect, no matter what your role is. I don't care if you're the janitor, if you're the intern. A lot of the other women were really interns or apprentices early in their career. If you have value. I had to have that conversation with myself. And it reminds me of a meme that I saw online that says we have to stop teaching our women to measure their strength by how much pain they can endure. And that hit me. I said, "That's me. That's my problem. You can take it. You can take it. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay." And it's not okay. So that's the second thing I would say to them. It's not okay to be treated like you're less than, you know, in any way, shape, or form. And then the third thing I'll say really practically is document, document, document. Record, record, record. The Zoom meetings, whatever it is, you know, there are legalities and things like that. But when people know you have receipts, they get in alignment. And that's the only thing that helped me. I know that if I didn't have emails, and I have more emails that I didn't even show, I know that if I didn't have timestamp data and information, that the board and other leaders would have tried to, I believe, to kind of position me as being maybe I didn't get it right. Maybe I misinterpreted some behaviors. Maybe I'm over exaggerating. But I have copious notes from a year. I have 124 pages of notes from board, you know, everything that I experienced. And that gave me the confidence to go back retrospectively and say, "I know I probably have more notes than you do on what happened that day, that time, and what you said, and emails. I have it all." Not because I was trying to build a case, I just operate like that anyway. And I was like, "Thank you." I was like, "Oh my gosh, thank goodness that I have that." You know? So document, it'll make you feel better and more confident when and if you feel like you need to move forward to shed light on what you're experiencing.
Well, that's great advice. And I just want to thank you so much, Dr. Brandy, for sharing your story with us today. I'm sure that revisiting a lot of that information and those experiences is not always the most comfortable and can be triggering. Even just sharing my tiny bit with you was triggering for me. It just doesn't, the body keeps score. It doesn't go anywhere. That trauma is in there and you can heal, you can tell your story, but it's still in there. So I really appreciate that you were willing to be so vulnerable and just tell us your experience and what happened. But furthermore, share some really, really valuable advice that I know so many people are going to take away. So thank you.
Yes. Well, thank you for having me. And I just thought of one little 10-second thing I want to share for anyone who maybe is not dealing with a current situation, but maybe that time has passed and it's been in the past. It's already over. You're already removed. Write that letter anyway. Right? Make the post anyway. Get it out. Because I think that sometimes that healing process has to do with getting it out, writing it down, getting it out of your head. And so I think that I don't want them to miss out on an opportunity to heal because maybe they didn't say anything or feeling like they didn't have the courage. There's still time, formally or informally. If you just write a letter and then burn it in the fireplace, you know, whatever that symbolic thing that you need to do to stand up for yourself and to feel like you got it out of your system, I think that could be helpful as well.
Yes, I think so too. And you, one other thing, you had mentioned an event that you'll be hosting in April. Is that open to the public?
Open to the public 100% for free. And they can go to my LinkedIn page. I'll have information on it, or joinfutures.org/events, because this is going to be actually our flagship program for one of our millennial ventures organizations that we're launching, really about empowering and equipping leaders of the future. So all generations, all industries, this is going to be our launch event, Courage and Conviction, How to Overcome Workplace Toxicity. And so if they go to that link, they'll be able to register. And the anyone else who may be listening to this in the future, just tap in and you can always request the replay link from our team at Join Futures and they'll be able to get it for you.
That's wonderful. I will definitely be looking into that for sure. Well, thank you again, Dr. Brandy. And audience, of course, thank you all for listening. Share what you took away from this episode with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram by following at Meetings Today and at Courtney on Stage. And be sure to never miss an episode by subscribing to Dare to Interrupt on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and more. Choose courage, use your voice, and keep daring to interrupt, my friends. Until next time.